Hey, welcome to Going Rogue, the podcast for clear-eyed rebels and utopia preppers. I'm here with the rogue journalist, Caitlin Johnston. I'm Caitlin's worst half, Tim Foley. How you doing, Caitlin?
G'day, Tim.
You wrote an article, you switched titles. It had one title for a little while, and then you changed the title to Alternative Media and Selling Out.
Yeah, it was something about sirening something.
Which, you know, it was good for the spirit of the story, but it didn't really pop.
It didn't really pop,
like most of your headlines did.
Yes, I changed it, and with a picture of Cenk Uygur as well, underneath, who is often associated in progressive circles with the idea of selling out. Sorry, Cenk, but, you know.
Come on. So like TYT, if you guys, the Young Turks, which Cenk Uygur is the head of, if you're unfamiliar with it, it has historically been a
bastion of
thought. Like a great way for progressive ideas to kind of go semi sort of kind of mainstream, you know, a large audience towards ideas that you can't hear about anywhere, but has increasingly been more and more about Russiagate and just anti-Trumpism and doing everything.
Just regular vote blue no matter who.
Yeah.
Topics. Very mainstream, very one-sided, very establishment.
Very wrong. Like, I mean, Uygur, like you said, he predicted 10 months ago that Trump would be out of office in 6 months or something like that.
Yeah, so unfortunately, yeah, time's up on that one.
Yeah.
Even Nancy Pelosi now is saying that impeachment isn't the thing. And everyone's been, like, frog-marched into further escalations with Russia, and the neocons got exactly what they wanted out of it.
Yeah, which was, of course, the idea the entire time.
Right.
Freak everyone about Trump, associate Trump with Russia, everybody, we need to fight Russia.
But what they did was, you know, and it's a very simple trick. You just grab people in on their self-interest rather than their highest interest, and they kind of grabbed people with this idea that, you know, well, you may not believe it, but we might be able to impeach Trump on it. So, right. And that became the kind of qualified of everyone.
They did to the Democrats exactly with Russiagate, exactly what they did to the Republicans with 9/11.
Right.
In order to manifest to manufacture support for the war on terror bullshit.
Right. Yeah, same thing, isn't it? And, you know, it gets proven a lie, but by then the damage is done and the people are killed and the bombs have been dropped and everyone's got what they wanted out of it. So, the neocons have been gunning for escalations with Russia and for various geopolitical maneuvers. And they even said that, you know, someone actually tweeted out this, and I'd forgotten I even wrote it. About this time last year, Rachel Maddow kind of outlined the establishment plan of how it was all going to go down.
Right, yeah.
And she said, because there were some really weird things that Obama did just before, at the end of his tenure, he put a whole heap of troops, like, right up on the borders of Russia, just intimidating, doing buzzing.
Yeah, and Maddow said, if Trump pulls away those troops, then we'll know that this Pissgate dossier is probably true.
That's right. It was this kind of weird double blackmail extortion.
We're just going to point the entire establishment media machine at saying that him moving those troops means the Pissgate dossier is true.
And it probably in one of her more honest moments too, she kind of leaned in. She was so excited. Like she really, you know, she was orgasming over this. She's like, oh, look, and here's what's happening, right?
And so Russia hates it.
They hate it.
I remember that clip.
Yeah. Oh, it was disgusting. It really disturbed me because she was so excited by this very manipulative move of Obama to, you know, forced Trump's hand on Russia by artificially escalating tensions with Russia and then, like, leaving office and then say, hey, what are you going to do now? You're going to wind things back? Everyone will say you're a Putin puppet.
Right. Yeah, like, he was totally trapped in. And it worked.
It fucking worked.
It worked. He's
That was so depressing. I skimmed through the article and I was like, hey, guys, you know, all we have to do is point this out and it won't work. I'm so sweet. Past me is so sweet.
Aren't you precious?
Yeah.
Nah, it worked. Everyone just bought it hook, line, and sinker. Yeah, it wasn't clear that we would still be perseverating on this with even greater hysteria.
No,
A year later.
Yeah. It is dying down a little.
It ebbs and flows, though. Well, who knows?
Very hard to tell.
Who knows? We keep thinking it's going away, and then it comes roaring right on back with the... Well, there's a leak from inside the whatever department that Trump's son's gardener may have had something to
bombshell,
do with.
Bombshell!
Bombshell! Bombshell! Bombshell, everybody! Bombshell!
Yeah. Run! Viral! And then...
Then the retractions.
Next minute. Retractions, yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, well, and that brings me to the... Because I was very inspired by Mr. Lee Camp. He sat down and did this the most awesome video, I think. You know, like, it's early days. We're only, not even through January yet, but it might be the video of the year. He planted his feet and he rants in the most inspiring way, just into his, home office camera, without the makeup, without all the trappings of Redacted Tonight. And he... Because he's pissed off. And I don't blame him. He's getting so squeezed by this Russiagate bullshit. This absolute fucking lie that has, created this bizarre situation where even talking to a Russian is considered treason by regular
Americans.
Liking
one of their tweets or retweeting them now. Everyone's getting all these emails
about how Twitter. you've been conspiring with foreign agents.
We have noticed.
Just want to point out, it's a very concerned trolling letter. Yeah,
not to be xenophobic or anything.
We're not xenophobic at all.
But you may have rubbed elbows with a Russian at some point in the last 2 years, and you don't know what kind of diseases they have.
Yes. So that went out just a couple of days ago, and I think Lee had enough.
Yeah, it was epic. It made you cry a little bit.
Well, I think, yeah.
Yeah, it got us both fired up. It was
fist pumping,
really,
wasn't it? Yeah. So I wanted to talk about that. And I wanted to talk also about the kind of pressures that are on alternative media people, how they can, and, how simple it is to kind of fall into that slipstream.
Right.
Especially, I haven't been doing this a long time, but I have been doing it long enough to realize that if you write something that falls perfectly within the boundaries of the blue-red paradigm, one side or the other, it doesn't matter, it'll go off. It goes completely nuts. Right. My easily most read pieces are ones that have been accepted mainly by the Blue Democrats. The my most read piece is one that's on the Me Too, the hashtag Me Too phenomena.
Right, yeah, but you got some others near the top that are also by the Trump crowd.
Right, that have been elevated by the Trump crowd.
Talked about shitty things the DNC was doing or whatever.
Right, yeah.
So, either or, as long as it's enough for mainstream, for one side of mainstream America to go, hey, this is great, share this around.
Right.
This is, we've already been lubed up for this by the propaganda machine.
But as soon as you start trying to talk about real things, about the people who are really running it, who cross party lines, who are nothing to do with the actual, fun and games of the WWE sham fest that we all think of as politics.
That's not fun.
Yeah, one wants to hear it.
It's like they're all there for a puppet show, and you're there going, hey, look, there's a guy behind this box, everybody. And they're like, shh,
shut up.
What's the show?
And I have a favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not true to say that we don't have a really solid base of readers. There is a growing number of people who are seeing it and understanding
this.
Right,
yeah. But if you wanted to get really big, really fast, the way to do that would be to write for one side or the other of the establishment paradigm.
Yeah, right. Establishment narratives for mainstream audiences.
Right.
So I get it.
Yeah, and you see that happen, like, with all the different...
like you rose up, your name rose in the lead up to the 2016 election, and a lot of other names rose with you, and a huge percentage of those have either wound up slipping into the Democrat, mainstream Democrat, or mainstream Trumpster route, because that's the easiest way to grow your audience and get your stuff out there. And get
oh,
clicks.
But just ground into a pulp and couldn't do it anymore. Just got
right. Yeah, sick. Yeah. It's like you're getting beat up by the Bloods, so you join the Crips.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No. No. But there was also people who just had to dip out because they were getting, you know, hammered by trolls both sides all the time, and it is physically exhausting.
Yeah.
So I know at least two that happened to. So yeah, there is that kind of temptation that, like, you know, if one side has been beating you up the whole time, then why wouldn't you go into the arms of the other team at some point and be embraced at least by like a community?
Yeah, a really large, reliable community that you know isn't going to go anywhere because they're propped up by the entire infrastructure of either the Fox News Breitbart crowd or the MSNBC, CNN, Young Turks crowd.
Right. So, yeah, there's the temptation lying there. But, yeah, I don't personally feel it myself. I don't really see myself in any kind of – I can't really see myself getting all dolled up for some TV show or something – like going into the newspaper business suddenly, you know, with a little trilby and press pass.
Caitlin, no offense, but I think if you were to get a job on mainstream television news, I think you would last approximately 80 minutes. At the most.
That's fair. Wouldn't? Oh
my God. Before they threw you from a third story window.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's true. I mean, that is true. I don't, you know, I actually know that I'm pretty sure Cenk would hate me.
Oh, you would not get along with him.
Yeah, I would not get along
you
with him.
You guys would butt heads instantly.
Yeah.
And his head is big. You would lose. His head is easily the size of a mastiff.
True. It's true. So, yeah, I don't really feel that pull. anyway, and I'm quite happy with, you know, being a reader-funded, I love this. This is really great.
Yeah, it's cool. But that also does kind of insulate you a little bit from the paradigm you're talking about, how since you're not motivated by clicks at all because you're supported by Patreon and PayPal, then you're not incentivized to try and get as many clicks as you can for advertisers.
Exactly. So, and actually, I went back and, well, we published and I was like, oh, I remember this little interaction that I had with David Sirota. In fact, I'm not even sure that I had an interaction with him. I just posted, he said something and then I posted something after it. But he said, and let me get the thing. Because he, of course, most famously went with Brock, David Brock.
He attempted to go, and it fell through.
Yeah.
But everyone gave him shit for it.
They really did.
Because he's like a real journalist. Everyone was like, why are you lending your obvious talent to that, Bernie Sanders called him the scum of the earth?
Right.
And which is kind of unfair to scum. There's some fairly classy kinds of scum out there.
Certainly classier than David Brock, anyway.
Not all scum, come on.
It did seem a really weird thing to do, but, you know, maybe he was, like, collecting intelligence or something. I don't know. Whatever. It didn't last long, and then he popped out the other side.
Right.
And after it, he said, shilling for the status quo is rarely a bad career choice because while integrity is nice, it doesn't pay for healthcare or retirement. Right. I tweeted back, let's change that. And I feel like part of the thing that we're doing here is changing that. Like, we are changing the paradigm. We are creating a model here right now for independent journalism.
Yeah, and you're trying to change it so that the you know, the same thing which causes large groups of people to share and enjoy narratives that are favorable to the mainstream perspective and articles and stuff. You want to get those large groups of people over towards narratives that question
those things, which is actually traditionally what journalism was meant to do.
Right. The fourth estate. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're supposed to hold government to account. That does not happen anymore.
That doesn't happen.
You just are the government.
And what doesn't happen anymore, and this is what I find really concerning, and what actually at the beginning of the article I talk about, because Jenk's great big fat noggin is on the top of that, because TYT has taken on Mr. Dan Rather. For real.
Dan Rather!
Yeah.
Yeah.
For real. Now, I want to talk about reputation and how that used to be all important in journalism, or so I thought. I thought that, you know, as a journalist, you really only went by your reputation. You didn't get paid a lot, but you did get a lot of, you know, good feedback for what you were doing. And if you were doing the right thing, then you would get, like, that was the idea anyway. And if you got things wrong too many times in a row, then you lost your reputation.
Right.
And then you eventually lost your platforms. You know, they would decrease. Dan fucking Rather has been so wrong in so many instances, but he is beloved still. He's still
absolutely a national treasure.
I didn't know until someone on Twitter pointed out that he was in. He was one of the first people to see the JFK footage before the public got to see it 10 years before. So, and it was his testimony that said that the head flipped backwards. So
no, he said it flipped forwards.
Forwards, right? That and so that kind of dismissed, you know, any kind of
the possibility of him having been shot from the front.
From the front. That so for 10 years, people believed that simply because, in part, because he had said, "I have seen it, and this is what I saw," and then it turns out he was fucking lying.
Yeah,
so that was a long time ago to be lying. Then he was wrong on Iraq War. He's been wrong on the war. He was big cheerleader for the war on.
Terrible. Yeah, and perhaps more importantly, as you point out, he was just front and center of pacing America day after day on a reliable, trusted basis into this shithole that we've found ourselves in right now.
The neoliberalism shithole, yeah.
Yeah, just normalizing disgusting thing after disgusting thing after disgusting thing, day after day after day. Yeah, we gotta kill those people. That's normal. Yeah, cops are killing more people. That's that's okay. Just talking about it like it's a normal thing and ignoring the real stories about what's happening in order to talk about the bullshit stories, keeping people running in circles, chasing their tails. And
getting them to deny their reality, saying, "Hey, look, the stock market is up, you know, Dow Jones index is up, blah, blah. It's, you know, great time for the economy." Meanwhile, people are, you know, like living hand to mouth the whole time. But he's getting them to ignore their lived reality and listen to his bizarre fantasy.
Right, right. And then election year after election year coming in and saying, "All right, well, yeah, so you get a vote for this guy who will not help you, or you can vote for this guy who also will not help you. Those are your choices. That's normal."
That's normal, yeah.
This guy's favorite color is green. This guy's favorite color is yellow. They disagree on that issue. Yeah. Otherwise, they're pretty much the same guy. That's normal. Excuse me.
That's America.
That's America, and that's normal. That's the lesson. And yeah, so Rather came back into the picture at some point in 2017 by appearing on some talk shows and saying, "Yeah, Trump's an asshole," which is just so insightful.
Look, really,
wow.
No one was saying that. He was a lone voice.
We need more of this guy. Yeah. He's 387, but we need more of him on screen. So Cenk Uygur snapped him up as quick as he could without breaking his pretzel-like ancient bones. throws him right in front of a fucking TYT camera.
Red light that way. Speak. So, yeah, he's going to do exactly the same job that he has always done for the establishment, and that's put a progressive face on the hideousness of the neoliberal capitalist.
Dan Rather on
dystopia, Orwellian dystopia that we're living
in. So, yeah, they're not pretending to not be MSNBC anymore. There's just two MSNBCs. There's the one that's mostly online and the one that's mostly on television.
Right.
TYT is the online division of MSNBC.
That's probably true. And, you know, yeah. If that's not happening in a money way, that'll probably be happening in the future as well. All the funding. They all just keep, you know, it's a great big monopoly game. And the six companies that owned all the major outlets came down to five or whatever. And TYT will be, like, snapped up.
Yeah.
Yep. Soon enough.
Yeah, I mean, there's already some dark money influence and stuff going into there. And that's, yeah, Cenk is obviously just wants to grow his audience as big as possible and make a whole lot of money and get out of there before anyone realizes that he fucked everyone.
Yeah, early retirement.
Yeah, and you know, meanwhile, yeah, he's keeping the Russia thing going on and on and on. Chariton's gone, one of the only few anti-establishment people on there. Michael Tracy, who had... He was doing a lot more commentary and analysis and stuff, which is, in my opinion, where he's able to do the most damage, where he's able to be the most effective weapon. He's probably their best anti-establishment voice, and they marginalized him too by moving him to TYT Investigates, which, you know, investigative journalism is great, but he's got a powerful brain, and he's a lot more effective just pointing it and going like, yeah, this is why Russiagate is bullshit and stuff.
Yeah, that is actually a demotion, even though it looks like a promotion.
Right, yeah, just because of his skill set.
His skill set, but also, like, if in a regular newspaper office, that would be a demotion.
That's true, huh?
Yeah, the op-ed is where you know, you want to be. Mm. And investigative is, like, what you do to get there, usually.
Right, so yeah, so now he's touring the country, going to all these little rinky-dink Democratic events and investigating what's going on there with the DCCCC or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. But there's no worry. I mean, his big picture analysis is far better than Cenk's. Cenk gets lots of things wrong a lot of the time. So,
like less often than random chance.
Yeah. 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 And it's all, yeah, so they really do. It is kind of... They are squeezing him there. Anyway. So, yeah, that was my article for today.
So you would like to see people just speaking more boldly and more loudly.
Always. That's always my thing.
That's pretty much what you can boil down a lot of Caitlin Johnson articles to that, huh?
Pretty much.
Just they're trying to tell you to shut up. Don't. Yeah. Go the opposite direction of the direction they're marching you. Turn around. Run.
That's what I loved about the Lee Cam video is that it ended on that. It's like they cannot suppress everything.
Yeah.
Just keep talking and keep talking truth, because that's the thing that unites us. If we keep saying what we're seeing, then we're all pointing at the same thing. It's when we try and manipulate each other with our weird little lies that, you know, might get him impeached, or like these little weird lies that people tell, you know, to try and fucking manipulate the grand manipulators. No, we're not going to win it that way.
Not going to happen.
No, we've got to keep telling truth the way the truth is. even when it goes against, you know, like a couple of weeks ago, was it? Like Glenn Greenwald and I were pointing out about the release the memo stuff.
That was just a few days ago, baby.
Was that a few days ago?
Yeah, the release the memo thing was like 4 days ago or something. Yeah, yeah, I remember. Like, you guys were talking about that, and you were pointing out, like, yeah, it's probably not the thing that they're pretending it is. And everyone, like, all the Trump people, like, shut up.
Yeah.
We're trying to do the Russiagate thing to them.
It's a little lie. We're tricking them.
Yeah. And it's exactly, Russiagaters will tell you the same thing when they're really honest. If you catch a Russiagator on a really honest day, and they're the right kind of Russiagate, they'll tell you, yeah, you know, we don't know. There's probably nothing to it. But it doesn't matter because this is the best way to get him impeached.
Yeah. See, none of that's going to work because they still keep you fighting each other in the same fucking puppet show.
Yeah, no, truth is the only weapon we have.
Yeah, and we've got to just keep talking it the way we see it. Even if we get a little bit wrong sometimes, just correct and keep going.
It's the best you can do.
Just do the best you can and do it as loudly as possible. Bang those pots and pans, baby.
All right, so that has been our show. Caitlin is an entirely reader-supported, and I guess podcast-supported, listener-supported journalist. So if you want to support her on Patreon, there's links in the description, as well as if you just want to toss her some money on PayPal on a one-time basis, there's a link for that as well. Or you could buy her book, which is really great. It's called Woke, A Field Guide for Utopia Preppers. It's got some really great poems in there and illustrations. Definitely worth the money. Follow Caitlin on Facebook and Twitter to find out what's going on with her. You have been listening to Going Rogue.
Keep fighting.
Thanks, y'all.